Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joanna Brandy is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. I know you're happy to know that she's back on the show. Joanna is an original member of our Brain Trust. She and I are actually now in our eighth year together. And is that right? Let's see. Yeah, no, we're in our ninth year, Joanna. We've already had our eighth anniversary.
Oh, my God. We're in our ninth year?
We're in our ninth year. Welcome back.
Well, thank you very much.
It's good to have you back. Joanna, folks, is the author of 54 Ways to Stay Positive. Which is one of the things we're going to talk about today, a little happiness talk, things that we're going to talk about. Also, winning at customer attention. She is one of the world's top experts on customer care and making sure that you put your best foot forward in the marketplace, including making your workplace a happy place to be. How are we going to do that, Joanna?
Oh, that's my mission, is to help people do that. Well, first of all, I think there has to just be the recognition, Jim, that if you create the kind of environment where people come to work every day and they have the opportunity to be happy, they have the opportunity to grow and to work in their strengths rather than struggle against their weaknesses, if they can work in a place where the boss finds something right rather than something wrong, then we're well on our way to creating a happy workplace.
Well, how do we do all those things? That sounds like a big task. You've loaded a pretty heavy wagon there, Joanna.
Yes, I have.
Do that?
Well, the first thing I think we have to take a look at is leadership. And where is leadership's focus? I have the opportunity to be in, you know, many different companies and talk to many different people. And one of the things I hear from employees all over the place is, and it's almost the exact same quote, they said, how come the boss never notices when I do anything right, but they always seem to be Johnny on the spot when I've done something wrong?
They catch you doing things wrong, but not to catch
you doing
things right.
Things, yeah, so I think my first piece of advice would be to, you know, for the boss to sit down and just take a good look at where does he or she put their focus on what the do we notice our employees doing things right? Do we let them know when we see them doing things right? Do we tell them we appreciate what they're doing? Are we specific in our feedback? Are we kind and caring in our feedback? You know, we have this, I love when people talk about constructive criticism. You know,
you know, one of my
criticism, no matter what you call it.
One of my resolutions are, and I call them different things every year, but that I encourage folks to do from a human resources standpoint is to praise more in public and criticize more in private. And when you do it in private.
And I think, you know what, I think we could even remove that word from the vocabulary.
And critique,
not,
maybe is the word I should use.
It could be critique. It could be critique, which I think has a much better, you know, connotation. And an actor works with a coach, and the coach critiques. They don't give them criticism. They critique it. It's also just giving feedback.
Right.
On performance. It's saying, here's what you did right, and here's what you could do better. I think we have to get away from this right and wrong, strength and weakness. There are strengths, and then there are lesser strengths. If somebody is truly, truly weak in something, you generally don't hire them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you generally don't hire them. Now, if you've got somebody on board that's been there for a long time, and even, I think it's a matter of perception. I think when we allow ourselves to look at somebody's strengths and discuss their strengths with them and anchor them and amplify them and appreciate them and acknowledge them, that the things that we perceived as weaknesses become much easier to deal with because somebody is much more open and willing to work with you on growing when they see how much you appreciate their growth.
Is it possible, one of the things that concerns me, Joanna, a little bit, is that maybe serious managers believe that they can't continue to be serious if they actually work on making their place to work a happy place.
It's not that
if you ask them, they would say, no, I don't want my people to be happy. Nobody would say that. But to actually set a goal of building a happy place to work, it's almost like that's a contradiction in terms with serious management. What do you think?
I agree with you, and that's an astute point that you bring up. It's the word happiness that, you know, we think of happiness, we think of Pollyanna. We don't think of serious business results. So when I teach happiness, which I'm doing regularly now, I was trained by Dr. Martin Seligman, who's the founding father of positive psychology, and he has a way of looking at it that I think works very well for business. He calls it authentic happiness, and he says that happiness has three faces. There's pleasure, engagement, and meaning. And if there's any one problem going on in the American workplace now, it's the disengagement of employees.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm talking to, especially to management, to CEOs, when I'm in the selling and telling process, I talk very much about about engagement.
What you're saying is when you in order to have a happy workplace, it doesn't mean that everybody's walking around with these huge smiles on their face, slapping everybody on the back and telling jokes.
Doesn't mean they don't have smiles on their face.
No,
but it's not happyology.
It's not like your place has to look like the audience at a great comedian's at the comedy shop or something like
that. No, not at all. And I think that's going to be the challenge moving forward as people begin to hear about this. There was a fabulous article in the Wall Street Journal on March 19th. It's all about happiness in the workplace. I'll tell you why happiness in the workplace is really, really important. When you have pleasure, or when you are fully engaged in something that challenges you, like your work, when you're doing work that you perceive as being meaningful, your body actually goes into the state of positive emotion. And positive emotion is a physiological state. And when you're in that physiological state, the body produces a biochemical response that actually helps build your resilience over time.
Hmm.
It increases your immune system and increases your T cells and your ability to create T cells in the body, which is all about the immune system. It builds resilience, and it helps people think more holistically, because there is a phenomenon that happens in the brain when you are in the state of positive emotion that opens your brain up to more holistic thinking. So you become a bigger picture thinker, and you are more open to new ideas.
So there's happiness that, say, a newly married couple would have. There's happiness that you would have at the birth of a baby. There's happiness that you'd have if you're enjoying a comedian, for example. And then there's happiness that you can have at work. It might not look like those other things.
Exactly.
We're going to take a quick break. Joanna's going to explain this more to us right after these messages. Stay tuned. You're going to want to get some of this happiness, I promise. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter if you haven't already, and don't forget to check out our blog. Don't forget all the other things, like the articles and the archives, and our Brain Trust members are listed there. You can find the list of resources is unparalleled. We have no peer, really, in the marketplace, folks, in terms of the quantity and quality of the resources that we have there for you. And it's all free. That's the other good news. It's all free thanks to our corporate partners. We hope you'll say thanks to them for that. And that's all at smallbusinessadvocate.com, including our good friend Joanna Brandy. She's deposited so much wisdom on our site, on our show, and on our site through her articles over the years. And Joanna, for 8-plus years, we thank you.
I thought it was 9, Jim.
Yeah, what is it? 8-plus, I said. So,
8-plus.
By the way, Joanna, today is National She's Funny That Way Day. This is the day to pay tribute to the humorous nature of women by listing the top 5 ways in which women in our lives make us laugh.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
This is National She's Just Funny That Way Day.
Just funny that way day.
Would you like what do you think? You think I could come up with 5 ways that women are just funny that way?
Yeah.
You think I could?
I think you could.
You know, all the extra bottles that women have that men don't have, you know.
Yes, you've told me that one.
She's just funny that
way. She's just funny that way. Yeah. Women come with bottles.
Right. All the obsessive stuff that women sometimes do, she's just funny that way, isn't she? Can you think of anything? And of course, I'm sure you could think of things that he's just funny that way, right?
Oh, but I could think of a lot of them. Let's get back to happiness.
I bet you can do more than five. Joanna, folks, is helping us understand new ways to think of happiness in the workplace. Go ahead, Joanna.
So what we were talking about before the break was this idea that happiness has three faces. And that smiling face, the happy face that we're used to, is just one of them, and that it also is also part of happiness is being engaged in our work. You know, loving what we do, working from our strengths, and finding meaning in what we do.
Mm-hmm. Meaning. Now that's an interesting thing. See, that's how someone who says, you know, I'm a serious manager. We have serious business to do here. We have lots of important things to do here. We don't have time to be laughing and cutting up and et cetera, et cetera. but I still want my people to be happy. Well, you don't have to tell them jokes. Help them find meaning. Help them be successful in their assignments. That's one of the best ways to me to find happiness in the workplace is if our employees feel that they're being successful. Not that they feel the company is being successful, although that's important, but in their assignments, what they're doing is contributing and they're being successful. What do you think?
And I think that's true, but I do think it has something to do with the company being successful and making the connection between what they do and the success of the overall enterprise.
But see, this to me, though, this is where managers can get tripped up. Because if you're a manager, see, I believe in what I call Blasingame's first law of aggregation, and that's smart managers aggregate the success of their employees for their own success. It's not all about their success first. They subordinate their success to first making sure their people are successful.
Absolutely.
In their assignments.
Absolutely.
And you and I both have worked at places where all we ever heard about was how great the company was doing, and the way it came out was as if, you know, we hadn't done anything.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, we're looking at the same thing from different perspectives.
Well, I'm
thinking about all the people that I've interviewed through the years who work in a company doing a job, but don't even know what the rest of the company is doing,
right?
And don't understand how what they do contributes, because
that's an important piece
of meaning.
How it aggregates to the whole.
Exactly, exactly. Right. And I think people are in dire need of feeling that connection. I think connectedness is part of what makes us human. And people need to feel connected to each other, connected to other people on the team, and connected to the overall mission of the company.
Well, let me tell you how that creates unhappiness for managers and owners. In the 20th century, when you and I were coming up as young pups, you and I both know people, and you and I didn't do it so much because we left. But a lot of people that you and I both know stayed with companies many, many years as unhappy people because they didn't want to leave. For whatever reason, they felt tied there, or they just didn't take the initiative. The younger generations are not putting up with that stuff. They're leaving in droves if they're not finding fulfillment.
Oh, let me tell you, and it goes on and on. I attended a fabulous session, and when I was up at the Customer Care Institute, a woman by the name of Claire Raines gave the keynote address this year on the four generations at work. And absolutely, that is absolutely true. Both Generation X and Generation Y won't put up with what we put up with, because it's not like, you know, remember, it was sort of like you should feel lucky to have a job.
Was sort of the
motivational saying when we were growing up. You know, mm-hmm. you should feel honored. You should whatever. These young people, if it doesn't fit into their value equation, I didn't tell you this, but my daughter just left her brand new job and moved to California for a different one, because what they promised her, they did not deliver her.
Right.
And she weighed it against the hour and 15 or hour and a half minute commute she had to make.
Right.
And after 4 or 5 months of being on the job, she looked at it and she said, you know what? This is not what they promised. I'm not getting what I was supposed to get out of this.
By the way, Joanna, we're going to have to wrap it up. Give us your website, please.
customercarecoach.com.
And can we still subscribe to your customer care coach program?
Oh, a free bi-weekly customer care tip. Absolutely. And next week it's going to be all about happiness.
Customer Care Coach. You can also find your books there too, can't they, Joanna?
Yes, we have a whole bookstore there, Jim.
All of them
there.
It's an outstanding site. customercarecoach.com. Joanna Brandy, thank you very much. Quick break. We're going to talk about Scotland and golf courses right after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.